It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast as we talk real estate right around the UAE and a special focus, of course, on the Dubai property market. And you'll hear us on Spotify, also Apple Podcasts and Amazon. It's a Tuesday morning. We are in the second day for April. And good morning to you, Selwyn, in Dublin, in Ireland, listening to us. Now, you wanted to know, what are the top five areas of concern for expats when buying property in Dubai, and what those questions are asked to Mario. You're saying that Mario's wealth of experience and understanding of the Dubai property market, you would be interested to know what those top five are. Now, I'm going to bring Mario in because I don't want to throw a curveball at you because you're just finding out about this now. Mario, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Craig. That's a very, very good question. I like it. One that I think needs a little bit of careful thought. One that immediately comes to mind, however, if I can just give a bit of a taster, would be potentially what are the costs involved in actually buying property in Dubai?
Yes, because it's fair to say that, you know, every country has different legal fees and due process, and Dubai, UAE is no different in that respect.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, what goes to the government, what goes to the actual trustee offices, what's the responsibility of the seller, what's the responsibility of the buyer? So there's a lot to pick through this. So I'll come back and give all the answers next time.
All right, so there you go, Selwyn. Keep listening. Mario is going to get the top five and break it all down. Now, we've got a really interesting show for you today with the first topic. Now, I've heard that there's this new tall tower announcement in Dubai Marina. People are going to be very interested to find out more about this, Mario.
Yeah, it's a luxury hotel chain. Six Senses have signed an agreement with the developer Select Group to launch this ultra-premium 122-storey tower, which will be called Six Senses Residences, and it's scheduled for completion in quarter three of 2028.
You know, it's no mean feat to actually build these towers, and probably worthwhile pointing out that the plot that it's going to be built on was originally for another tall skyscraper that didn't actually get finished, right?
Yeah, that's right, Craig. This plot was originally for a high-rise tower called the Pentominium, which essentially was to be built with only penthouses. This too was to have 122 stories, but was halted since 2011 as the then developer, Trident Holdings, got into financial trouble due to the world financial crisis of the previous 2 years, so went into liquidation soon after. The carcass of the unfinished tower has been sitting idle ever since.
Yeah, the carcass, that's one way to describe it. So what about the new tower? What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's going to feature 251 units and have views of Palm Jumeirah and Dubai Marina. There's going to be the usual 2, 3, and 4-bed normal apartments. The penthouses will have 4 bedrooms. And then there's going to be other properties called Sky Mansions, which will be duplexes and triplexes. And these will have 4 and 5 bedrooms.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about what's going to make this a little bit different. What makes this stand out more?
Well, apart from the fact that it should become the second tallest tower in Dubai after the Burj Khalifa, and it will become the tallest residential building in the world, the developer is going down the wellness route in its offerings to the residents. There's going to be a 25-meter pool on the 109th floor and the usual spa and gym. But in addition, there will be a longevity center, cryotherapy and hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and a crystal healing room. So, Craig, I guess in 4 years' time, you and I can take a trip down there to get ourselves all rejuvenated and younger looking.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for that. I'll put that in the diary and make sure that that happens. But just sort of swinging back to what we were talking about, and that is, you know, sometimes these towers don't actually get finished, which made me remember this ambitious tower, the Golden Finance Tower in northern China, which was once poised to be the world's fifth tallest building. It commenced its construction in 2008. Then we had the economic turmoil in 2010, which halted the construction. And then the skyscraper got going, got up to 128 stories by 2015. And then in 2018, the Chinese government indefinitely suspended the project due to a ban on skyscrapers exceeding 1,640 feet, citing safety concerns. So the tower remains unsold and dormant, and you should see this thing. It is just sitting there.
I mean, honestly, Craig, that's a wacky story in itself. I mean, I think there's two angles to this. You would think that, obviously, from a point of view of building the actual structure, they would know full well whether it's actually safe or not. Maybe there's questions about how these particular towers are actually built. But obviously, what some of the listeners may know is that clearly the Chinese property market at the moment is going through turmoil, especially with large developers defaulting, etc. So I suspect they've sort of halted it, although be it a while ago, purely and simply down to the economic factors of the actual property market in China.
Yeah.
I can't believe they stopped it just for safety reasons. I mean, they must have known all that when they were building the thing.
They say that China is more into these days of preserving cultural architecture, which is a shift away from imitating foreign styles, and they say signaling a new era in architectural ethos. But, you know, those are just words at the end of the day, aren't they? The thing still looks terrible because it's unfinished. All right, so let's go from the tallness of these skyscrapers into having a look at some of the rental costs. And in Dubai, can you find, here is a question, a one-bedroom apartment for less than 70K when it comes to a rental? Now, we spoke about the cost of living in other Emirates, but for those needing accommodation in Dubai for, let's say, a one-bedroom under 70K for rent, where can the listeners, Mario, move to?
Well, yes, there is. We've spoken about these areas before and they come up again and again. The sort of cheapest area for rented accommodation in Dubai is without doubt International City. Now, this is a large residential development located along the Emirates Road, based on clusters with country-styled themes. Now, the average rental price is around 38,000 per annum, which is very, very reasonable. The sort of next area would be Dubai Land, which is located along the E611 road. For the listeners who know the area a little bit, this is near to Arabian Ranches and Motor City. And the average rental rates there jump up from 38 before to 50,000 per annum. The third one would be Dubai Investment Park. This is a mixed-use development of residential, commercial, and hospitality properties. The average rental prices for a one-bed are around 55,000 per annum.
Okay, well, that's great. And what other areas are there in terms of under 70K?
Yeah, so as we go through the list, the next will be Silicon Oasis and Sport City. Here, the average rental prices are around about 60,000. Then comes Jumeirah Village Triangle, or JVT, as we say, and Discovery Gardens. Now, these are around about 65,000 per annum, as is downtown Jebel Ali and Town Square. And lastly, Al Barsha. This brings in average rents for one bedrooms of 70,000. There are some areas such as JVC, Maidan 1 and Arjan where the average rent actually is over 70,000, but doing my research, you can still find cheaper options in these areas as well.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, is making sure you have a really good ferret around to find the best possible deal. Now, talking of deals, I understand there is a new strategic partnership, Mario, that was announced over the weekend. So tell us all about what's happening with regard to this.
Yeah, that's right, Craig. Yesterday, it was announced that the Dubai Land Department, or the DLD, as we call it, has entered into a strategic partnership with 9 developers in order to support the Dubai real estate program.
So what is the aim of the partnership?
I understand that this move will provide enhanced job opportunities within the real estate sector in accordance with labor laws, obviously. The DLD will be looking to further empower the competitiveness of Emirati professionals within the real estate sector, but a large part of the agreement will be to allocate 10 to 15% of inventory quota from projects to be sold through Emirati brokers.
Okay, so that's a point of difference and probably quite a bold move by the sound of it.
It definitely is, Craig. I'm sure these Emirati brokers, like all of us, are often left disappointed when they have a client, but the developer stock just isn't available at property launches. So to ring fence some inventory for national brokers will ensure they grab a slice of this very lucrative pie. But unfortunately for the rest of us, I guess it's just about continuing to build relationships with these developers in the hope of getting some inventory favors too.
Well, it is a partnership that has been announced, so presumably there's a bunch of developers that have decided to sign up to the agreement. Can you tell us any of these developers and who they are?
Yeah, the initial developers are Emaar Properties, Expo Dubai, DR, Damac, Azizi Developments, MAG, Shoba Realty, Ellington Properties, and Al Bayt Al Duwali Real Estate Development. I'm sure it won't end with just these, because it is noted that in the coming phases, more partnerships with other developers will be introduced.
You know, it just comes back to this point constantly when we are asked, gee, have you got plenty of material to talk about when it comes to the Dubai real estate market? I mean, every single week there is something that is on the go, something that is suddenly being illuminated in different corners. And here we go. I mean, this is just one. The tall high rise that we talk about is another. So, you know, the stories, they're ever evolving.
Yeah, that's right, Craig. And the thing is, there's such a diversification here. We can be technical about specifics of a specific building and how big it is and what's going to be the offerings, through to sentiment, what you can buy for certain budgets. And this last story, which obviously just broke this weekend, is something that obviously is going to evolve. But the government here are looking at ways of always trying to improve not just systems and how people buy, streamlining things. I mean, a few years ago, everything was done with paper. Now, a lot of the purchase procedures is all done electronically. Contracts are sent electronically. And of course, if you want to print a few things out, you can do so. But generally speaking, everything is done now online with the brokers in tow. So it's a constant evolving thing. And yes, it is mind-boggling how many stories is coming out of Dubai. And so it keeps it fresh and it keeps people like the listeners listening into the Dubai Property Podcast.
Yeah, and I think one of the key words is streamline. It seems that the government is always constantly looking at how can we make something better. Not quite sure how the think tank all works, But it's very clear that they're keen to push and just develop it in a way that makes everything tick along that much better. All right, Mario, we'll leave it there. I know that Selwyn will get an answer on Saturday with regard to those five questions that expats want to know. Enjoy your Tuesday and talk to you later in the week.
Thank you very much, Craig, and I wish a fantastic week to all the listeners.
What to buy, where to live, and things to avoid every week on the Dubai Property Podcast.
That's right, Craig. For the listeners who are not familiar with Samana, they're actually a small but growing developer in Dubai, and they feature very elegant and kind of well-designed projects. Most of their launches in Dubai, which total just over 20 projects at the moment, have a sort of Mediterranean feel to them. And Samana were one of the first, if not the first developer to introduce this concept of a private pool on every balcony, and actually continue to incorporate that on every project they launched. So my very first off-plan deal as a broker in Dubai was actually a Samana project named Miami. So I've been a fan of this developer for a while now. This announcement stated that they will award a further 18 construction contracts to contractors across the course of this year. So safe to say the listeners will be seeing a lot more Samana in 2024 if they're, you know, if they're keeping a close eye on Dubai's off-plan sector.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing, and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.